Go ahead and open in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to gather together and to open your word, to sing praises to your name, to gather as your people, and just to have the fellowship that we have with one another, with you, with your Son, with your Spirit, and with others throughout the world who are part of the body of Christ. Even though we are members of this local congregation, we know that there are many who are gathering today throughout the world who are brethren in Christ. They are true believers, and they are part of our family as you have brought us into your fold. We thank you for them. We praise you for them. And we pray that we will honor you well this year, that we will glorify your name, and that we will live what we learn from your word. I pray that as we come to your word this morning, you would just show us the truth of it. You would convict us. You would remind us. You would encourage us and empower us to live these things, and that we can take them and use them to teach others as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, as I mentioned earlier, we are combined together for our New Year service. And once again, Happy New Year. Thank you all for joining us. We had a good time last night. I didn't realize this, but I know Chim posted on, I think, Instagram or Facebook. This is the third year that we've had the third that we're together at our house. I didn't think, I thought it was twice, but we got together last night again for those of you who made it. Those of you who didn't, you're invited next year. You have 364-day notice. We'll have a New Year's Eve service at our house, or a New Year's Eve gathering. Plenty of food, a lot of games provided by Chin. A lot of, you know, we were just kind of eating and talking. When Chin got there, all the fun began. And so Chin and Trevor and Matthew brought the games in. But it was a really good time last night, so we enjoyed it. We were thankful for being able to get together. And we want to start the service off right, start this year off as well with a combined service, communion as we look at the sacrifice of Christ, and a message this morning about the blessings of newness from God. Okay? And so this morning, I just want to jump right into it and share with you this morning four areas of newness that we have from God. And if you understand these, you cherish these things, you pursue these things, these areas of newness in life, I think it will be a great benefit to you. As we come into the new year, people want to change things. I mean, you see it all the time. You hear about resolutions and different things that they want to lay aside and put off and then put on and new habits, whatever it might be. And they want to be a better person. They want to be better people. Well, when we look at what we have in Christ, we understand that we have so many new things, or we are new in certain ways because of the work of God. And so I just want to share with you this morning four areas of newness that we have from God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The first one is this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And we'll see here the first thing is that we are new creations in Christ. Okay, new creations. We are saved and forgiven. We have a new nature. And all of that comprises the new creation that we are. You know, when a child is born, we celebrate. We celebrate with the family. We enjoy seeing these little children. In fact, I walked into the nursery just a few minutes ago while we were doing the announcements, and I just want to say good morning to my wife. I hadn't seen her this morning until just a few minutes ago. And when I walked in there, she had this cute little girl sitting on her lap, you know, little rubber bands in her hair and little pigtails sticking up. And she looks at me. I know she's always happy when she is holding a baby. She loves holding babies. She loves smelling babies. And she looked and she said, and she says, I imagine this is what my grandchild's going to look like. You know, a dark, cute little girl. I'm like, there you go. All right. And so she has that desire. She's had that desire for a long time to have those grandchildren. And but she loves babies. You know, you celebrate that newness, that innocence, the playfulness, the cuteness of the new life. You know, but when you look at the innocence of the children, as cute as they are, as wonderful as they are, it's really a perception of innocence. And that is not to say that children aren't innocent in their actions, but within them, within every one of us, from the moment of conception, we have a corrupted sin nature. We are born already plagued by sin. And it's only a matter of time. And you know, if you've been here with us for any amount of time, you know that I've shared this before. It's only a matter of time before we as humans act upon that sin nature. You know, whatever the situation is, whatever the timing is, something triggers it, and we respond in sinful ways because it's ingrained in us. It's part of who we are. And we cannot eradicate that without Christ. And so every person experiences physical birth, but not everyone experiences new birth. Okay? And this is what we're talking about with new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." And so as we come into this new year, I just want to remind you that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have heard the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, and you have accepted that, meaning that you have heard the facts about Christ, you believe it to be true, that you place your faith in it, you believe that that is the only means of salvation, is through the provision that God has made through his Son, then you are a new creation in Christ. Now everything that separated you before from God has disqualified you from being in his presence in glory, all of that is gone. Because Christ came to save fallen sinners. Christ came to take the old man and make him the new man. The old fallen creation and turn him into the new creation. And so through Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, his sacrifice, his resurrection, his intercession for us, he makes us new creations that are now acceptable to God. Not just acceptable, but we are embraced by God. We are part of the family of God. And he gives to us as new creations value that we could never imagine, that we could never comprehend from this perspective on earth being apart from God. You know, many people in the world like to think that they have value, and as human beings we do. I am not minimizing our worth as people. We are made in the image of God. Every man, woman, and child, regardless of their faith in Christ or not, they bear the image of God. But only those who have been reconciled to God through Christ are new creations. And when we have that reconciliation, when we are new creations, our value just goes off the charts. Because it's no longer just a temporal value. The value is an eternal value. It's value in God's eyes. It is the understanding that God has given us a new identity, made us that new creation through the new birth, and that no matter what we have done, past, present, or future, no matter how old you are, how young you are, rich or poor, educated or not, it doesn't make a difference. Those who come to Christ, he makes them new. He gives us new identities. He gives us new natures. And I can't think of a better way to start the new year, either to understand, to be reminded of the fact that we are new creations in Christ. Or maybe if you're here this morning and you have never believed in the gospel of Christ, you've never humbled yourself and accepted that free gift and confessed to God that, yes, I am a sinner and I need your salvation. I need what you offer through Christ. If you've never done that, you can start the new year by becoming a new creation. The Bible says that you know, all who confess that Jesus is Lord, believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, will be saved. God won't turn anyone away if they want to come through his Son. And so, like I said, I can't think of a better way to begin the new year than to remind ourselves as Christians that we are new creations, that we are separate from the rest of the world. Again, it's not a holier-than-thou mentality, but we understand we have been made new in Christ. Or if you've never been renewed, to have that opportunity this morning to just confess to God, I need the newness that you offer. I am sick and tired of being this old person. I'm spinning my wheels. I cannot accomplish the things that bring me true peace, true happiness, and true fulfillment. It only comes through you. And those who believe that will be saved when they understand it's only through Christ that they can become new creations. Well, that's the first one. The second one is a new family. Okay? Once you are a new creation in Jesus Christ, you become part of the body of Christ. And we are very important to one another. Okay? As if becoming a new creation wasn't good enough, God blesses us by giving us a brand new family. Okay? And families are important in our lives. We understand that. You know, I know many of you well, and I've talked to you, and families are important to you. Families are important to me. The love that we have, the companionship, the support, the help, the provision, all the things that family brings, that is important to our existence. That is something we strive for. We strive to attain that. We strive to preserve that. You know, we want to have those families that we would consider blessings to us. But, you know, as Christians, we have a second family. We not only have our biological families, but we have a spiritual family. And sometimes, you know, in our experience as Christians, sometimes the spiritual family is a greater blessing than our biological families. Many times Christians who have found faith in Christ, they've been given newness of life, they're new creations, they have family members who don't share in their faith. They have family members who will now ostracize them. They will mock them. They will scoff at them. They will scorn them because they believe in Jesus Christ. And many times those people in their biological family don't do anything to build them up. Instead, they do things to tear them down. And sometimes that's not even because of their faith. Sometimes our families just don't get along. And we bicker, we fight, we lock horns with one another. And so many times, having the spiritual family is a greater blessing than having the physical. I'm not minimizing the biological family. God has created it. God has created man and woman. He's created the institution of marriage and husbands and wives and children. That's all part of God's plan. But because of sin, sometimes the family breaks down. But when you come to the family of God, when you're a new creation and you have the spiritual family, you have a whole new, what we would call like a support group. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who are concerned for your well-being, not just financially, not just physically, but spiritually. They want to see you do well. They want to see you grow and excel and succeed for the glory of God. And so if you look at Ephesians 2:19, take a look here, and this gives us the understanding that, we really have kind of two residences, if you will, one temporal, one eternal, and kind of a temporal citizenship, but an eternal citizenship as well. Ephesians 2:19 says this, "So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." Okay? You know, before becoming a new creation, the Bible says that we are aliens and strangers to God. We don't have a right relationship with Him. We are at war with God. We are at enmity with God. There's strife between us and God. But once we are new creations, once we have been reborn, we've been given the new birth through Christ, we are now fellow citizens. We join that universal body of Christ. We join all the saints from all the years past, whether they're Old Testament or New Testament, Reformation saints, whoever they are, all the true believers in Christ, we join them together as being citizens of God's kingdom, as being part of the family of God. You know, we talk about the visible church and the invisible church. The visible church are all those alive today who are part of the body of Christ, you and me and others as well. The invisible church is comprised of all those who believe in Christ, all the followers throughout all of history. And so all those who are part of the church, whether they are alive here on the earth or they have already gone to glory, we are all part of that body of Christ. We are all citizens of God's kingdom. And so with that new creation, we have that new family of God. And I would encourage you to look around this morning. You know, there's a lot of people who are not here today. And just because they are absent, whether it's because of illness or they're on vacation or maybe they slept in because they were up a little late last night, whatever it is, they are still part of our family, even if they're not here. When you're not here, you're still part of the family of God. And so we have that unity, we have that fellowship together that no one on this earth can break. And when you look around and you look at your brethren here, I mean, every true church of Christ is important. We want to love them and pray for them and acknowledge them. But if you come here to Anaheim Church, this is your local body. These are your brethren. And they should be praying for you, as I know many of you do, and ministering to you and fulfilling the one another's of Scripture. And likewise, you should be doing the same for them and thanking God that you have one another. You know, thanking God that we're able to come to each other, to call, to email, to text, to meet, to have coffee, a meal, whatever it is. And to say, I need prayer. I got to share this with you. You know, I need some advice. I just need to talk. You know, whatever it might be. And we have that together in the body of Christ. So I am thankful for that. And I encourage you, as you are part of the body here at Anaheim Church, take the opportunity this year to get to know each other better, to strengthen your relationships, to invest more into one another and to really cherish what God has given us as we have a new family in Christ. Well, we are new creations. We have a new family. We also see here that we are to put on the new self. Okay, the new self. Look at Ephesians 4:24. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to be different from the unsaved world. that we are to flee from what we used to be and to strive for holiness. And as I mentioned earlier, many people today are going to begin a path of enrichment and bettering themselves, whether it's working out physically or whether it's reading books or taking classes or, you know, on the path for financial freedom, whatever it might be. People are trying to improve themselves, to become a better person or a new person. You know, we find many faults in ourselves as humans. We examine ourselves. We may not always admit it, but we examine ourselves and we realize that we fall short in many ways. We don't satisfy those expectations we have or the standards that we have or that the world has. And you know, many in the world are going to begin that journey today to better themselves, and the vast majority of them will give up. They will fail. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but you know that's true. I mean, when people talk about making resolutions and breaking resolutions, that's because it happens. People have good intentions, they have a plan, and they try to go ahead and engage that, and they find out before the year is even half over, they've already failed in their plans. And many of them become distraught, they become distressed, they're discouraged, they're disappointed. And you know, if we try to better ourselves and create a new self for us outside of God, we are always going to be disappointed. Because we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the power, we don't have the means to make us what God wants us to be. We can only do that through the power of God. And so as new creations, we have the new family, but we also are told that we need to actively put on the new self. Look at Ephesians 4:24. Paul says, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Okay, righteousness, holiness, and truth. And so when you talk about the new self being a new person, I think these are three essential elements. Okay, these are three things that Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that needs to be part of who we are and who our new self becomes. We need to be righteous. Okay, we need to be holy and upright in our living. We have to live in accordance with God's standard. And when you look at righteousness, the idea behind the word righteousness means straightness. Something that is like the straight and narrow. It doesn't deviate from God's plan. And so we are to pursue that newness of ourselves, that is that conformity to God's authoritative standard. So as you go on this year, have your mind set on doing things God's way and following God's plan, not your own plan. That doesn't mean that we can't plan for, you know, financial freedom. It doesn't mean that we can't plan career or education or family or anything else. But we do those things according to God's will. We do those things according to God's word. And when we do that, we are pursuing righteousness in our new selves. We are also to pursue holiness. We are to be set apart for the glory of God. We are to be pure in thought and action, to be clean vessels for Christ. And the idea of holiness is moral and ethical wholeness or perfection. So we don't want to accept the immorality of this world. We don't want to look at the moral decay around us and say that is the new norm. That is okay. Okay, immorality is not the new morality. Okay? We need to make sure that we understand God wants us to be pure for him. He did not make us new creations so we can live like the old creation. He wants us to be a new creation for his glory. And so when we put on the new self, we examine ourselves, we look at all those things that don't conform with righteousness and holiness and truth, and we strive to put those things off. But then when we replace them with those things that are satisfying to God. And then the third one as we look at this is truth. Okay, and the truth is coming straight from God and his word. I think it's very simple when we look at truth. The world doesn't believe in objective truth anymore. But when you come to God's word, that's what God's word is. Objective, timeless, transcendent truth. It's enduring truth, divine truth. And so if we're going to put on the new selves, we need to make sure that we are putting on scripture. That means we study it, we memorize it, we practice it, we pray through it, we proclaim it, and we use it as our standard of truth. We not only, as James says, are hearers of the word, but we are what? What? Doers of the word. It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just to hear me or Sam or someone else preach it, but you have to go and do it. If you're going to put on the new self, you need to apply God's word. And so a newness of life, a new self, is one that is marked by righteousness and holiness and truth. And then the fourth one, as we close, is a new home. that God has promised us a new home. We are to live for Christ here and now. We are not to be useless or worthless, you know, individuals on this planet. When God creates us, he wants us to serve him here. But this world is not our home. We are passing through. We are aliens and strangers to this world. You know, we're not going to live here forever. One day we will die physically, and at the moment of our death, we will immediately be transformed, transfigured, and taken into God's presence. And we will see that is our permanent dwelling place, in the presence of God. And so we need to remember that our home is in heaven, and that's our most important destination, our most important focus. But you know, one of the sources of comfort and security that we have, they are our homes. Whether you rent or whether you own, whether it's an apartment, a condo, a townhouse, or single family residence, whatever it might be, we enjoy our homes. We take care of them. We build them up. We upgrade them. We decorate them. You know, we insure them. And because we love them, it gives us that sense of security. It gives us that sense of identity and comfort and all the other things that a home brings. You know, I enjoy going out. I enjoy going on vacation. I enjoy going on conferences. But I'll tell you what, I miss the comforts of home. It's not a long amount of time that goes by before I start to miss my comfortable sofa or to miss my television or to miss my bed or whatever it is. I enjoy being home, and sometimes I like to get out, but I want to come back home. And it's not just the home, but it's the people who are there as well. I miss the place. I miss the people. And so what we need to understand is that in this temporal world, we live in a flawed home. I mean, we do. So many things about this world are flawed because of sin. You know, when sin came into this world and corrupted man in the garden, it didn't only corrupt man, but it corrupted the earth itself. The Bible talks about the earth groaning and longing to be renewed. Because even the earth understands, in whatever capability, whatever, you know, way that it can, it understands that it's corrupted and that God has something better in store for it. And so everything that once existed in a perfect world in the garden before sin to sustain man is now working to destroy man. When you look at, you know, we call, you know, Mother Nature. You look at fires and storms and tornadoes and earthquakes and all these things. I mean, those things do not exist for the longevity of man. Those things destroy people. We fear those things. There's damage that comes with those things. Those things were not part of the garden. They were not in existence before sin. But as a result of sin, now the earth is plagued by that. And so, of course, we thank God for the world that we live in. We thank him because he sustains this world. I mean, the sun and the moon. None of us had to plan the rising of the sun this morning. None of us had to plan or to program the sun to bring its heat to give us the life, the warmth that we need. We don't do this, you know, the programming of the moon so that the moon cools us down at night and controls the tides. We don't do any of that, but it happens every single day because God ordains it to happen. So even though it's corrupted, we still thank the Lord for what he's given us, but we understand, as we read this morning in 2 Peter 3, this world is living on borrowed time. This world is going to be destroyed, and it's not going to be global warming, and it's not going to be a nuclear war. It's going to be God's war on this planet when he destroys everything by intense heat. We already know that. We might damage it. We might neglect it as bad stewards, poor stewards of what God has given to us. But we're never going to destroy the earth. God will destroy the earth. He's going to destroy the universe. But when he does, his promise in 2 Peter 3:13 is that there is a new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. So he's going to replace this corrupted, imperfect world with a perfect, incorruptible dwelling place. The new heavens, the new earth. Not just the absence of disease or the absence of natural disasters or the absence of death, but also the absence of sin. There will be no sin in the new heavens and the new earth. Unlike the Garden of Eden, where sin could come in and corrupt man, there is no possibility for sin to come into God's new creation. Zero chance of that ever happening. And so we look to a place where sin is never going to do what it's done to this world. It will never do to us what it's already done to mankind. It will never reverse the blessings that we have from God because sin will be non-existent. And so we thank the Lord that we have that. And so as I close here, and let me close in prayer, then we'll take some testimonies. We understand that we are new creations. Okay? We've been given new life. We are to put on the new self. You know, we have the new families. And that we here have a new home. And so I hope that this year you have that perspective. You understand these things. There's so much more to be said, but that you'll just take these four things and apply them to your life this year. To know that you are a new creation in Christ. That you have that new family, the body of Christ. That you are to put on the new self, become who God wants you to be. And that one day he will bring you to that new home. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to just take a few moments to look at your word. I pray that we will understand it, that we will live by it, that we will cherish it, and we will share it with others so that they too will have the opportunity to have the blessings that we have through Jesus Christ. I just pray that you would convict us this morning, those of us who are believers, and that you would encourage us and that you would strengthen us, Lord, and give us the excitement for the new year. And that perhaps if there's someone here this morning who has not experienced these things, these aren't their current hopes, that you would just give them that opportunity today to humble themselves before you, just to call out to you, to ask you for that salvation. We know that you will not turn them away. All those who want to come through Christ will be saved because you put that desire in them. You reveal that truth to them. And I pray that this morning that you have done that, that you have convinced someone here today that they need these blessings of newness and that it only comes through your Son. And that they can start this year as new creations in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you as we go into our time of testimony. We know there's much to be said, much to be shared, and I pray that you would encourage us through what we're about to hear, and that we would continue to look forward to what you will do in 2017. We thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.